If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Verse 18 of Isaiah 43, listen carefully. Remember ye not the former things. And here's how we can make this a little more modern. Forget your past. Tell somebody, forget your past. Now here's the problem. One of the good things about my educational pursuit is that I no longer just deal with things from a theological perspective. I look at why we believe what we believe. God made you with two systems of memory, short term and long term. Short term is what I like to call your reactive memory. My phone number is 215-555-3333-3279-2697. What's my phone number? Now, here's why. When I watch this, my phone number is 215-555-6375. What's my phone number? Now, why couldn't you remember the first one I gave you? Because I took you out of your frame of reference. You're used to phone numbers being 10 numbers. I took you into 14. I stretched your belief system. Every time you read that Bible, God is stretching your belief system. And that's why we can't retain the Word of God, because we get up from the Word of God and something doesn't make sense to us because it's not part of our frame of reference. So when he says, love your enemies, we have no frame of reference for that, because our frame of reference is if somebody hits you, if you think they're going to hit you, listen to you. And all this time we've been preaching love. Why? Because of where you live. How does change come? How do you bless them that curse you when in your mind you're still thinking of defense? How do you do good to those who despitefully use you when in your mind you're thinking of defense? Most of us in here can identify someone's behavior that they demonstrate towards us that's injurious to us. So we'll say, so-and-so doesn't like me. But what barometer do you use to say that so-and-so loves me? It's not in our frame of reference, especially if we have not received love as a child. So here's what God says. Remember ye not the former things. Forget your past. Why is that critical? Because once you're stuck in your past, you can't experience change. And sometimes God uses people to help you change. When I lived at home and I played basketball, I would come in the house and just take my uniform off and leave it on the floor. Either Mama or Jackie would pick it up, put it in a hamper, and it would get washed. That was the norm. I had a mother and a sister. Just, you know, that's what they were there for. After I got married, I came home, I dropped it on the floor, came back through, it was still there. I said, wait a minute, something, what's wrong with this picture? I was instructed that I'm not your mother or your sister. Because that's what I said. I said, they used to pick it up all the time. I don't get this. I'm not your mother or your sister. And I know you're not. But this is supposed to carry over. No, then I had to start picking my stuff up and putting it in the hamper myself. Why was change necessary? I was trying to have Sister Lambert adopt the behavior patterns of those who were genetically connected to me. They did it because it was just part of the behavior of my upbringing, if you will. But she caught me grown. And she says certain behaviors won't be tolerated. Well, that's how it was when you came to God. When you came to God, you were steeped in sin. Certain behaviors were already there. And the people around you unknowingly supported those bad behaviors. Then you came to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm not tolerating backbiting. I'm not tolerating gossip, murmuring, and complaining. And you become angry and disconnected because the Lord doesn't tolerate that behavior. Amen. He can't change us to make us spiritual giants if he's going to allow us to gossip and backbite. Now it's called, instead of gossiping, it's now called texting. I'm not talking about you. No, you're texting about me. And so he says the key component to change is forgetting your past. That is the most difficult task that you will be faced with. How do you forget the past when psychologically it continues to come before you based upon memory joggers. Well, Jesus understood that. So when Peter betrayed Jesus, he was standing at a charcoal fire. And charcoal has a very strong smell. Of all your senses, your olfactory nerves, your sense of smell is the keenest memory jogger that you have. You can smell something and remember childhood activities. You can say, I smell those ribs. I remember going to Fairmont Park when it was safe to picnic out there. And every time I smell those ribs, I think of my family. Okay, you can do it. So Peter now has that smell in his mind that every time he smelled charcoal, he remembered that he betrayed the Lord. Jesus knew that, and he didn't want Peter to have that curse. So when he rose from the dead and met them on the shore, the Bible said he was preparing fish. And the only way you made fire in Jesus' day was with one of the ways to make fire outside of using wood was with charcoal. And the charcoal was petrified wood, if you will. It was still wood, but it was petrified. It was harder. And so Jesus made the charcoal fire. And so he sits with Peter at the charcoal fire, and he has Peter remember that he loves him. So now what does he do? He replaces the memory. Jesus knows that it is physically and psychologically impossible for you to completely forget, but change the memory. Don't hold on to the bad a person did. Look for something good. So every time you see them, you say, I remember you helped me get home with a bag of groceries. Don't remember they passed you on Cheltenham Avenue. Remember when they stopped and picked you up. Replace the memory. Why? Because you're preparing yourself for a new thing. Change is fueled by your ability to change your thought processes. Tell somebody, I'm going to change how I think about you. Yesterday afternoon, I was at a ministry function, and the pastor gets up to talk. They work in the community with this person. They get up and they say, when I first started in this ministry, I didn't like you, but I learned to love you. And the guy was sitting out in the audience, and he said to the pastor, I ain't like you either, but I learned to love you. Now, I want you to underscore something. It's not good to talk about how you felt, because our adversary will sit on your shoulder and talk about the fact that you didn't like me before. Don't talk about it. I don't care if you didn't like me 3 or 4 days ago. I don't need to hear it. See, all that pastor had to do was get up and say, there's Deacon so-and-so. We worked together in the neighborhood to do so-and-so. When I met him, I was just amazed that God had called me to him. God knows they didn't like each other, but you didn't have to know it. Because that'll start you thinking, I wonder what he did. What happened? Why didn't they like him? See, it's all in presentation. And God says, I'm going to do something new. But I love this fact in verse 19. He said, it's going to spring forth, but you won't recognize it. Why? Because we're holding on to the old. The hardest job I have as pastor is bringing new visionaries into something and not offending the old. Because, see, the people that held that position will become so offended that they'll leave. And I don't want to hurt people. But bless God, when the vision gets bogged down that we can't move forward, you have to change. And listen carefully. Some of us run out of vision. No matter how hard you try, no matter how pure your intentions are, you're just not the person for that task. And here's the interesting thing. God has already let you know that simply by the fact that you can't come up with nothing new. What are the signs of holding on to the old? You blame other people for the less than fruitful response to what you used to do 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you could do ABC and 1,000 people would respond. Now you do ABC and folk walk out on it. Well, they just don't want to hear the truth. No, it's just that it's become old. And then God shuts it down and we wind up struggling. Then after that comes justification. Well, I don't care if one person comes. I'm going to feed that one. I have this conversation with pastors. I said, man, close the church. It's been 10 years. It's just you and your family. You have no voice because Jesus said, sheep, respond to your voice. How is God going to do something new if we keep holding on to the old? But it's time for change. How do we pray that God sends us the miraculous but ignore the miracle workers? Simply because nobody likes them. In order for Bethel to grow, we must move out of personal doctrine that are not scripturally substantiated. See, we have spent most of our time educating ourselves only to find out we're wrong. I'm all for self-study, but the problem with self-study is you have no challenge. You develop dogma, and when someone comes against it, you'll hear phrases such as, I don't care what nobody says, this is what the word says. Well, that's the same philosophy that our forefathers used with Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. I don't care what nobody says. A woman not supposed to be wearing pants. Now you're wearing them. Were they wrong? Apparently they were, because nobody slipped into hell for wearing pants. So what makes us think that our particular pet doctrine is right? God says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm changing how I do things. I'm not changing, but I'm changing how I do things. And here's the key component for this passage. Verse 19, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. It's going to spring before you. You won't even recognize it. He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness. And remember, we've discovered that a way is something that someone else has already done. You can't discover a path. We'll use that term. Oh, I found a path. You really didn't find a path. You became aware of its presence. So what God is saying is, when I facilitate this change, if you're spiritual enough, you will see that someone has already gone down that road. Because Solomon tells us there's nothing new under the sun.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1516A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus says that we are the light of the world and that we are the salt of the earth. But just what does that mean? The Bible tells us that we should come out from among them and be separate, that you and I have the command to demonstrate the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and the love of God so that the world may know that the Lord exists. To that end, the Lord has encouraged us to write a book entitled The Christian and the Culture. The purpose of this book is to give you an opportunity to examine how the culture is trying to pull us into an ungodly lifestyle, but you and I are encouraged to live above the cultural trappings. You need to get this book into your library. There are chapters that talk about confronting the giants in your life, chapters that express God's love for you and how you and I are to separate ourselves, as the Apostle Paul says, by renewing our mind. And that is the basis of change. Our announcer is going to give you all the information you need to get this book into your personal library, to read it over and over and over again, and watch God begin to give you a sense of distinctiveness so the world will see that Jesus truly is the Lord of all creation.
Bishop Lambert's newly published book, The Christian and the Culture, is now available for purchase at Amazon.com and ChristianandTheCulture.com. Be sure to get your copy of this life-changing book and learn how to become a conqueror through Christ Jesus. For more information, call 215-885-2585.